Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Yeah, snowing. Look out the window if you're inside and all bottled up. If you're on the road, be careful. Nothing like a little April snow squall to come your way, right? Well, look what Massachusetts is doing. It is trying a new way to cover all employees with health insurance. We've talked about the experiment they were crafting while it was in development, and now the Massachusetts state legislature has passed, and Governor Mitt Romney seems prepared to sign a landmark plan that combines an expansion of the state's Medicaid program with a requirement for all individuals to find themselves coverage by July of next year. They can find it through work or get Medicaid if they're poor enough. Otherwise, they will have to buy it on the open market or pay a tax penalty if they don't. Some subsidies are available for individuals depending on their income, and employers will either have to cover their workers or pay a fee of $295 per uncovered worker. Good idea? Well, as you may have heard here last hour, former Massachusetts Governor William Weld, now running for governor of New York, says he might propose the same kind of thing for here.
It's a much better combination of proposals than just a statewide fiat. Okay, everyone's going to be covered and the taxpayers are going to pay for it, which I think is closer to what has been proposed by some in New York.
So Weld is criticizing Elliot Spitzer's approach to covering more people with health care just using Medicaid, Weld says. And in that clip right there, Weld seemed receptive to the Massachusetts plan, but without actually proposing it for New York as a candidate. Then he inched a little closer a few minutes later when I asked him this.
But no specific plan from you at this point to cover more of the uninsured in New York.
Well, as I say, I think the elements, the combination of incentives and penalties in the Massachusetts bill is very intriguing. I think it's worth studying with an eye to adapting a number of those elements, yes.
So New York Republican gubernatorial candidate and former Massachusetts governor William Weld, could it work in New York or New Jersey or be a national model? There are still so many questions to ask. Will it really accomplish universal coverage? Does the plan raise enough money to cover everyone? Is the individual mandate fair, even with the subsidies some people will get? Will employers have a new incentive to drop health coverage that they now provide? So we will get at least four reactions from guests, and we will open up the phones at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. With me first are Dr. Stephanie Woolhandler. She's Associate Professor of Medicine at Harvard and Co-Director of the Harvard Medical School General Internal Medicine Fellowship Program and a co-founder of Physicians for National Healthcare. She's long advocated something like single payer. And Michael Widmer, he's president of the Massachusetts Taxpayer Foundation, which largely represents business. So Michael Widmer and Dr. Woolhandler, thanks so much for coming on with us this morning. Hello.
Hello. I'm glad to be here.
Dr. Woolhandler, you've been on the show before and advocating, as I recall, single-payer health care or something like it. So just refresh my memory. Was that your position? And then what do you think about this?
Well, we believe Americans deserve real national health insurance that's paid for by taxes, that includes everyone and covers all medically necessary services, that gives people complete free choice of doctor and hospital. You know, that's what people have in Canada. That's what people have in most of Western Europe. They have it in Australia. And that's what we need in this country as well.
So what do you think of this new plan in your state?
Well, the view that this will lead to universal coverage is pure fantasy. This bill will not create universal coverage. In fact, most of the new money in the bill is going to the major hospitals and the private insurance industry. The bill has in it, everyone will have to buy coverage if coverage, affordable comprehensive coverage is available. And the idea that you're going to be able to create affordable, comprehensive coverage without reforming the rest of the healthcare system is really a fantasy. It's like promising that you're going to have chocolate chip cookies with no sugar, fat, or calories. And that's what this bill is based on, a promise that these affordable, comprehensive policies will be available to people who are currently uninsured. There's virtually no new money in the bill. I mean, charging employers $295 a year if they don't provide statewide insurance is just a joke. It's 15 cents an hour. That's nowhere near enough to fund universal coverage in the state. You know, we have 750,000 uninsured people in Massachusetts. We don't need to be spending more on health care, but we need to be getting savings through administrative cost simplification, through getting the insurance industry out of the picture, and use that money to cover uninsured.
Before we bring Michael Lugmer in, on the politics of this, reading from the Boston Globe this morning, it says, Senator Edward Kennedy, who has worked closely on the bill with Governor Romney and State House and Senate leaders, said yesterday that he felt that a sense of history propelled lawmakers through difficult negotiations. Now, Senator Kennedy is no slouch, I assume you'd agree, when it comes to advocating real universal health coverage. Is he for this?
Well, Senator Kennedy participated, as did several community groups that we have a lot of respect for. Many of them were very impressed with the expansions of Medicaid included in the bill, though the expansions are quite modest and really only a drop in the bucket when we start talking about trying to cover 750,000 people. So I'm quite critical of the bill, and even though many of our longtime friends support it, I think they're in error, that they're wrong.
All right, Michael Widmer, president of the Massachusetts Taxpayer Foundation, what do you think of the bill?
Well, I think it's a very important step forward. Let me say what I agree with first about what we've just heard, and that is clearly this is a national problem that needs national attention. But failing that, I think Massachusetts has clearly stepped ahead of the pack here. Will it result in universal coverage? No, that's clearly the goal, but no, I don't think so. Will it, on the other hand, reduce the ranks of the uninsured and broaden health care access in this state? I absolutely think it will. I think it has some very attractive features in it. The individual mandate combined with the subsidies, the promise of more affordable products collectively, I think, will broaden the ranks of the insured in Massachusetts. And it's another element here is the pre-tax offering of health care through something called a new agency called the Connector, which will allow smaller businesses to work under the umbrella of this agency and provide so-called Section 125 plans, which are offered pre-tax, and that means a savings of anywhere from 15% to 35%, and that will clearly help on the affordability. We're moving into uncharted waters here, no question, and so there are no guarantees. But I've been around Massachusetts government politics for 35 years, and I think this is one of the most ingenious and promising reforms in any area that I've seen in that period.
And just to let our listeners in the New York area know you in context, the Massachusetts Taxpayer Foundation mostly represents the business community?
Our membership is are the employer community, but we are widely respected as an independent commentator on state fiscal and economic issues and major public policy issues like transportation, healthcare, and higher education.
So one of the critiques that we heard from Dr. Willhandler is that it's just a kind of token charge to businesses who don't cover their workers with health insurance, $295 per uncovered worker per year. You know, it costs thousands of dollars these days for health insurance per worker in the real world. So will this promote employers, or will this cause employers to actually drop coverage for workers who they cover now, because, you know, they'll be able to say, well, I'm doing my part by paying this fee, but they'll get the rest of it off their back?
No, absolutely not. I mean, the point that this is a very modest fee is right, but it is not intended to be an inducement to provide health care coverage, nor is it intended, nor will it have an effect to drop coverage. It's tied to something in Massachusetts called the free care pool. Those who don't have insurance, who show up at hospitals, then get reimbursed. The hospitals get reimbursed through this so-called free care pool. There are complicated set of mechanisms to fund that free care. But one of the inequities is employers who provide health care coverage for their employees help fund this free care on top of the coverage they provide. Employers who don't provide health care in the state to their employees don't pay anything for the free care. So we were one of the groups that put forth a proposal to level the playing field and say employers who don't provide health care need to share the burden of the free care costs, and that cost was $295 per employee in 2005, and that's how the $295 was derived.
All right. Let me tell our listeners who are just tuning in that we're talking about this historic, we'll see how successful it is, but it certainly is historic, bill passed by the Massachusetts legislature yesterday, which aims at universal coverage in the state of Massachusetts through a combination of this fee that we were just talking about for employers who don't cover their workers with health insurance, some expansion of Medicaid in the state, and a mandate on individuals to buy health insurance if they're not otherwise covered. And we'll get more into the details of that in a minute. But I also want to bring in, for a few minutes here to join the conversation, Alice Burton. She's vice president of something called Academy Health, a healthcare research organization, and director of the State Coverage Initiative. And she follows how different states are trying to cover their residents with health insurance in this country. Alice Burton, welcome to WNYC.
Good morning.
And yeah, Brian, I this is Dr. Wilhelmler. I just
Dr. Wilhelmler, hang on a second.
Okay, but we need to respond to the view that employers won't cut back their coverage. Whatever employers say they intend, we have to look at history. And what's happened over the last 15 years is there's been continual expansions of Medicaid as employers do cut back on coverage for workers. It's a phenomenon called crowd out. So this is going to happen under the new bill.
No, it absolutely will not happen at 295, and even that information is misleading, but I know you want to go on.
Alice Burton, is this unique in the history of states trying to grapple with this problem?
Well, I think it's, yeah, I mean, I think as you see states coming out of sort of the fiscal crisis that they've had of recent past, this is certainly a bold move out, and a lot of states will look and watch very closely what the experience of Massachusetts is in this regard.
I think you heard the clip of former Massachusetts Governor Well that we played at the top, who's now running for governor of New York, and he seems to be inclined to propose something like this here in New York State. How easily adaptable do you think this might be to New York or as a national model?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think a lot of, states often look to other state strategies and think about what in one state can I take and adapt to another state. I think the real challenge is where the state sort of starts. What's their starting point and their base of coverage? In Massachusetts, you have a lower rate of uninsured than you do in the nation. You already have a strong base of employer-sponsored insurance in Massachusetts. There's already a lot that the state has done over a number of years to expand coverage through the Medicaid program, more so than a number of states. You cover parents in Massachusetts, whereas a number of states really only cover parents of children up to half of the poverty level. So for Massachusetts to address the issues of affordability, are a different set of questions than they are for a state that really has not created a foundation for coverage.
Interesting. All right, we'll continue in a minute with all our guests. We'll add yet one more, and we'll take some phone calls from you at 212-433-WNYC as we look at this historic attempt by the state of Massachusetts to approach universal health coverage. Stay tuned. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, as we talk about the Massachusetts legislature passing a universal health insurance law, or at least it aims toward universal coverage in the Bay State, including some expansion of Medicaid, a small play or pay program for employers. They'd pay the fee that we were talking about of $295 a year for each worker who they don't cover with health insurance, and a mandate on individuals who are not otherwise covered to buy health insurance on the private market. And we're talking about it so far with Dr. Steffi Wohlhandler from the Harvard Medical School and co-founder of Physicians for National Health Insurance, Michael Widmer, president of the Massachusetts Taxpayer Foundation, which represents business mostly, and Alice Burton, vice president of Academy Health, a healthcare research organization, and director of the State Coverage Initiative, which follows what states are doing with respect to health care. Dr. Wohlhandler, obviously we didn't resolve the issue of whether this program will expand uninsured workers, the number of uninsured workers, because it will cause employers to walk away. If this fee that employers would pay for each uninsured worker is low, and it's low at $295, it still compares to no fee currently. So why would it cause any more employers to drop coverage?
Well, every time you expand coverage through a government program, you do get some crowd out. So as we've seen the number of people covered by the Medicaid program expand, we don't get an equal reduction in the total number of uninsured people. And that's because many employers, and obviously the largest and most prominent is Walmart, actually rely on Medicaid and other public programs to cover their workers. So you can't just add up the new Medicaid coverage and say, that's how much we're going to reduce the number of uninsured. It doesn't work that way. You tend to only get about a 50% or so reduction in the number of uninsured.
Michael Widner, can I ask you, I know you want to respond to that, so you can do that briefly, but I also want you to explain this individual mandate, which is probably the startlingly new piece of all of this. How would that work?
Well, let me focus on the individual mandate, because that is the really the major new building block of this whole thing, along with more affordable products and subsidies to support the individual mandate. Everybody would be required as of July 1, 2007 to have health insurance coverage, and then they would have a penalty on their tax return, pretty nominal initially, if they didn't prove that they had coverage. So this would take effect about 15 months from now. The intervening period, the attempt will be to create and introduce more affordable products for individuals, because clearly when you're talking about $600 a month for an individual policy, you know, you've got to do much better than that in order to ask somebody who isn't eligible for the subsidies to buy health insurance. So that will be the critical period in which we get a look over the next several months and year at as to the question of whether we can, as a Commonwealth, actually introduce policies that are reasonable, clearly not the Cadillac version, but still reasonable policies at the price point of maybe $300 a month, but less costly, as I mentioned, when it's done on a pre-tax basis. At the same time, the subsidy schedule will be established so that if somebody is earning more than 100% of federal poverty level, which is the Medicaid breakpoint for most, but less than 300%, they would be eligible for subsidies, because clearly they couldn't afford this new health insurance on their own.
So what would that be for up to about, what, $45,000 a year for an individual?
Yes. Something in that range.
And how much of a subsidy would they get, and what do you expect these lower-cost health insurance plans to actually cost?
Well, the subsidies are beginning. I mean, that will be both will be worked out. At this point, we don't know the answer to that.
Why is it a good idea to place a mandate on individuals like this, in your opinion?
Well, because, in fact, that's the only way, really, to generate the kind of broadening of coverage that every other kind of effort at the state level has failed at. There was an independent study done by the Urban Institute, a major study and analysis on how to achieve something close to universal coverage in Massachusetts. And they concluded, it was interesting, they started with the assumption that an employer mandate of some sort was going to be the key factor. They did the analysis and they came out with a very different conclusion. And this is not a, by any means, to say the least, as you know, a right-wing group. They concluded that the individual mandate was far and away the number one factor, and that would, in fact, and I agree with this, generate some additional employer contributions, because when you're an employee who needs to get health care and you're working for an employer who doesn't have it, you begin to put some pressure on that employer to at least help out in the health care
right.
arena.
That assumes you have the power to do that as an employee. But Dr. Wilhandler, what do you think of the individual mandate?
Well, I have two things. First of all, it's pure fantasy that you're going to cut the cost of health care in half just by redesigning the benefit package. If you're going to cut health care costs, you have to cut the administrative costs, you have to cut out the middlemen, the private insurance industry, the high billing and overhead costs. You have to have good health planning. You know, you're not going to be able to take a policy that costs $7,000 a year and cut the price in half by some sort of benefit design. And, you know, that's the fantasy behind this plan, that you're going to get something for nothing, that you're not going to have to do real cost containment, but somehow you're just going to be able to get these policies at half price. By and large, people are uninsured because they can't afford the insurance. And most of these uninsured people are not high-income folks. They're middle-income folks who live in an extremely expensive state. The cost of housing here is sky-high. And people often, if they don't get the insurance through their employer, they can't afford it.
And what's
and
the what's
this
the
bill is not going to make it affordable.
What effect do you think the threat of a penalty will be on individuals who don't carry health insurance? I understand that the first level of penalty would be they lose their their individual personal exemption, the particular deduction on their state income tax. How
right.
much money is that worth?
Well, it's worth a very small amount of money. The state income tax is only a fraction of federal income tax.
So it's maybe
most people will just end up paying the penalty and still not able to have health insurance. They're going to end up worse off because they're not going to have the health insurance and they're going to be paying a tax penalty. And we have to ask ourselves, are middle-income workers actually the people who we want paying more? Or shouldn't we have a tax system that's fair and captures taxes from affluent people and uses that money?
Alice Burton, let me go back to you for a minute from the State Coverage Initiative.
Yeah.
Is there any other state in the nation that you know of that requires anything like this of individuals?
You know, I have certainly participated in discussions with state officials that have thought about this as an important way of addressing the issue of a mandatory program and really getting to all segments of the market. But no state has an individual mandate. Only one state has operational an employer mandate, and that's a state that had it in place in the early 70s, and that's Hawaii. And even in that state, they have found that the way their employer mandate is structured, it is only applied to full-time employees. So even in their market, they have not been able to achieve universal coverage through that employer mandate. So I think there is a recognition amongst many policy leaders that to do something that is really going to get close to universal coverage, you're going to have requirements in it.
May I underscore one point that Alice mentioned at the outset of her remarks, and
yes.
that is that one of the reasons why I think this can succeed in Massachusetts is the strong base of employer coverage that exists. We're near the top of the 50 states in terms of coverage by employers for health care. We also, as she said, have a generous Medicaid program. So we start in Massachusetts ahead of most of the other states.
Well, to Dr. Wilhandler's point, is it fair to individuals who are probably not buying health insurance now if they're not covered and they're working because they feel they can't afford it, to impose this on them? And politically speaking, isn't there an individual mandate rather than an employer mandate because employers have more power in the legislature to fend it off?
Well, to reiterate, employers, the whole reason this is even possible is because employers, to a much greater extent than virtually every other state here, are providing health care for their employees.
But for those who don't.
And then the very small fraction of employers who don't provide coverage, and now there's an additional fee tied to the free care costs for those employers.
Mm-hmm.
The individual mandate will only work, and this is where I do agree, and that is if we can get introduce more affordable products. And that's where the key is, mm-hmm. because, yes, we can't ask an individual to pay $600, $700, $800 a month for health care without subsidizing that.
Let me get some calls in. We have some very patient people, and as you can imagine, a lot of people who want to comment on this as we talk about the Massachusetts bill passed by their legislature yesterday in a grand compromise among different factions that will aim at universal coverage in the state of Massachusetts through this individual mandate that we heard for people who have jobs but are not covered by their employers. Also, a fee for employers who do not cover every worker, and an expansion of the state's Medicaid program. My guests are Michael Widmer, president of the Massachusetts Taxpayer Foundation, representing business mostly, Dr. Steffi Woolhandler from the Harvard Medical School and founder of Physicians for National Health Insurance, and Alice Burton from the State Coverage Initiative. And let me ask our callers to get right to the point and keep your remarks brief. Ruben in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ruben.
How you doing? I'm a pharmacist on the Upper West Side, and since Medicare has come out with its with their universal coverage, mm-hmm. I've seen that nearly all the drugs that have doing their quarterly raises on prices have clearly, you know, almost doubled the amount of raises they have, and it seems to me that every time that there is more coverage, that the pricing just keeps going up, and then on top of that, rolling over the cost in the coverage is the copays, increasing copays and other hidden fees, which is leaving people basically just about broke and flat zero in the first place. I can't understand how increasing coverage is going to get any handle on healthcare costs whatsoever.
Ruben, thank you very much. And Michael Widmer, what about that?
Well, I think clearly we all agree that something's got to be done about costs. I think when I'll go back to the point that Steffi was making and I was supporting, and that is the importance of lower cost health products. That clearly is part of the cost picture as well as the access picture, and that's critical to the success here. There's another element in the bill we haven't talked about. It's under the code word transparency, and mm-hmm. what it simply means is publicly available data on comparative cost and quality information of hospitals and doctors and so forth. That's going to be absolutely critical in this state. It's part of a national movement to do what is done in any other area of our society or economy, and that is give consumers and others access to comparative costs and quality information.
Julie in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Brian. I love your show.
Thanks.
Okay. What I think is not fair is all these arbitrary cutoffs, this $300 rebate and $75,000, you know, below $75,000. It's just not fair. It's all on the backs of the people on payroll. What about people who are working for themselves or companies that claim, my big complaint is that companies, corporations that claim they can't afford to cover their workers. Why don't they, when they file their taxes, why isn't there an arrangement for them to show that they can't afford? Why?
Because there's no requirement for them to cover workers, so they don't have to actually prove that they can't afford it. Steffi Woolhandler, what about, actually, you know what, I'm going to go on to Jason in Glen Rock. You're on WNYC. Hi, Jason.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Okay.
I just have a couple of points here. This actually, I take exception to the point that they're calling this health insurance. I really don't think the word insurance should actually be used here. For example, I have a home that I just purchased for $300,000. I pay $800 per year, and I get $500,000 of coverage for the home and for the contents and whatnot. And that's $800 per year. My wife was recently laid off.
Jason, I don't have time for this. I understand your point that this is not insurance because it's not to cover the rare catastrophic event. It's to cover every expense. But it's a semantic point that I'm not going to linger on. Charlie in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC.
Yes, hi, Brian. I'm very suspicious. This sounds like another Massachusetts miracle, and I wonder if it's not an election year gimmick that Mitt Romney, with his presidential ambitions, and Senator Kennedy has to get reelected. I just wonder if it's not the kind of situation where the good can be the enemy of the best, because as the doctor said, I think he stepped on her a little bit, she was saying that this does not make healthcare really more affordable for poor and middle-class people.
Dr. Wilhandler, what about that political imperative and Romney and Kennedy coming together?
Well, I think it's partially there. What this really is a giant gift to the private insurance industry. So instead of saying we're going to cover people the way traditional Medicare did and just say, okay, we're going to pay for coverage out of taxes and you're covered, they've decided the private insurance industry has to be in the middle, and therefore we're going to force the taxpayers to go out and buy private insurance. We've got the exact same problem in the Massachusetts bill as you have in the Medicare Part D bill, which is the private insurance industry is in the middle, wasting lots of money and making the bill complicated and unworkable.
Warren in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC.
I just want to make a comment. Good morning. In reference to the fact that nobody ever talks about the shortage of doctors. You sit in an office as a person who has coverage for 2-3 hours, and they talk about 40 million people, and they never discuss the quality of getting attended to. There was a report on New York hospitals that was just critical recently. Nobody ever comments about that.
Alice Burton, would you say that there is a shortage of doctors nationwide, and that helps to push up the cost of medical care and the short amount of time that doctors spend with patients these days? Is Alice Burton there? Oh, you know what? I think I have to press this button. Sorry, Alice. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I certainly think there's a maldistribution of physicians and other health care providers throughout the nation, and that certainly contributes to access issues and even for those that have insurance coverage, whether or not they're able to get in. So I think that's true. I'm not sure it's an overall volume issue, but more a distribution issue.
Somebody else wanted to get in on that? No. Okay, we have a minute left. Dr. Wilhandler, what do you think is actually going to happen in the early phases of this, now that it looks like this is not only passing the legislature, Governor Romney is going to sign this. This individual mandate takes effect on July 1st of next year. What's 30 seconds? What's going to happen between now and then?
I think the plan's going to unravel because the low-priced policies are simply not available. So the plan can force people to buy worthless fake insurance that won't cover anything, or they're going to have to admit that it's simply not affordable for individual middle-income people to go out and buy their own insurance.
Michael Widmer, quickly.
Well, I agree that that's the number one issue, and time will tell, but I think this is an experiment well worth pursuing.
Alice Burton?
Yeah, I think we all agree on the issue of affordability, and I think that's the critical implementation question for the state going forward, how to define what is an affordable policy and how that will play out.
All right. Well, it's a new day in health insurance in Massachusetts. It's going to be fascinating for everybody to see how this works out, and we now know that former Massachusetts governor and current gubernatorial candidate in New York, William Weld, says he is very interested in proposing something like this for New York State. Alice Burton from the State Coverage Initiative, Dr. Wilhandler from Harvard and Physicians for National Health Insurance, Michael Widner, president of the Massachusetts Taxpayer Foundation. Thank you all very much for coming on with us today on this.
Thank you, Brian.
My pleasure.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, why a trailer for a movie was pulled from an Upper West Side theater.